The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Frank James Bailey, voice actor and writer. As a voice actor, you might have heard my voice on Channel Frederator videos. As a writer, I've written 3 books about a female superhero named Turkana. And today I want you to join me on the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 147. This episode might be considered a little bit of a cross-promotional installment, and I'll explain why in just a few moments, but I'd like to talk about my guest. The man who's joining me is Mike McGee. He's the gentleman behind the YouTube channel, Mike McGee TV. And within that channel, he has a lot of different shows, a lot of different episodes. One of which is entitled Remake Revolution, which yours truly this past weekend got an opportunity to be on. It's where teams make a pitch to remake a particular movie. I was paired up with Staunch Ambition's own Brian Lau, and we competed against Jason and Max from the Three Geeks podcast. So as you can see, there's a lot of tie-ins among all the guests on Remake Revolution, but I wanted to have Mike on and talk about his channel because just like me, he's an independent guy. He's out there putting out his content because he enjoys it, because he wants to, because it's fun for him, you know, and so I wanted to have him on, talk a little bit about the channel and whatnot. I will state that towards the end of our conversation, we do dive into discussing the movie Black Panther. So if you haven't seen Black Panther, you might want to stop the episode right then and there. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but Mike and I are going to talk a little bit about the movie. I really, really enjoyed it. But hey, if you've already seen Black Panther, then keep on listening. Go right ahead. in fact, maybe you can let me know via social media or email or whatnot what you thought about my opinion of the movie as well as Mike's. But before we get into talking to Mike, let me go ahead and take care of letting you know about our great sponsor. And today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. As you know, Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their awesome service. Hey, maybe you want to check out Superheroes, Capes, Cows, and Creation of Comic Book Culture by Lawrence Maslin and Michael Cantor, narrated, of course, by one of the authors, Lawrence Maslin. If you wanted to check out that book, guess what? Audible has it. They have literally a book for any topic out there, ladies and gentlemen. So all you got to do to download your free audiobook today is to go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. And again, I can't tell you enough how important it is to visit Audible if you're interested, because they help to kick back a few bucks towards me and the PVD cast when somebody does indeed sign up for that free trial. So with that being said, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I sit down with Mike McGee to talk about his YouTube channel, Mike McGee TV. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down this evening with Mike McGee. Mike, how are you doing here tonight?
I am fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Doing really well. As I mentioned in the introduction, you have a YouTube channel where you comment on a variety of different pop culture happenings, whether we're talking about movies or we're talking about science fiction or we're talking about comics. And so how's the YouTube channel going?
It's going pretty well. It's a nice little grassroots building from the ground up type of operation. Slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah, certainly. So why did you start your channel, Mike McG TV?
You can just call me Mike McG.
Okay. That's all right. There you go.
I originally started this channel, well, to take it back a little bit, like back when I was in college, I did like various filming and recording of random stuff. Name it, I probably did. Like I filmed my friends and I doing like jokes and pranks. We did like comedy sketches. I tried my hand at some serious film work for a while and did my own fair share of embarrassing fan films at times. And after graduating college and kind of moving to New York for a little bit, I really got into the idea of just broadcasting myself, whatever was on my mind, whatever topics came to mind, whatever songs I wanted to sing or little ideas I wanted to kind of flesh out through movie making. And so that's where I actually started, not on YouTube, but on blip.tv, which was the site that was home to some critics and some content creators like the Cinema Snob and that guy with the glasses. And then that shut down. And so that's when I migrated over to YouTube.
Okay. Do you have a background in film, TV, or broadcasting? Did you go to college for that? Or
nope. Just kind of self-taught? I just did it for funsies. It was okay. Something I just felt like doing, you know, in my spare time. I'm actually a musician in my professional life. And at times I would sometimes blend the two.
Okay, cool. Have you ever dabbled with like music videos for bands and whatnot, or?
I used to do
the opportunity to.
I tried my hand once or twice. I used to do a series of like documentaries, like little short 15-minute segments on some of my friends who were in New York City and were performing on a regular basis. Like I would come out to their show. I'd interview them for a little bit about, you know, kind of what we're doing now, talking about their beginnings and their influences. And then I'd spend the rest of the evening videotaping various segments from their gigs and splice them all together in a nice little, I guess you could call it like a little press kit.
Okay. So. Cool. You know, you mentioned Blip TV and you, I got to be honest. I remember hearing about it. I don't think I ever watched anything on it. I never visited the site. But one of the other sites that I'm kind of a little bit ignorant on, or ignorant about, I should say, you are also on. You're on Twitch. So for the listeners at home, what's the difference between Twitch and YouTube?
Oh.
Is there a difference or?
Well, you came to the not expert on that. I use Twitch. I use Twitch primarily. I'm part of my channel now is like I'm expanding out to different things. Like I do the reviews, I do some like we did podcast a couple of days ago and things of that nature, but also I want to try some different things and I do game from time to time. So Twitch is primarily I use that for my gaming channel, but you could definitely do other things on Twitch as well. Like I believe they do have a creative section on there where you can say do artwork on there in live, you know, in real time. For donations and things like that, or you can have like Q&As on there, but I use it primarily for just kind of gaming.
Okay, so it's a live stream more so than say YouTube is.
Right, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks. I've seen it thrown around by, you know, lots of different people and I'm like, I don't even know what Twitch is. I have no idea. You know. But let's talk about some of the episodes that you have on your channel. One sure. Which I'll tell you right now, I think of all the ones I sampled, I like this one the most, so I'm going to start with it. Guilty Pleasure Treasure. Would you like to describe it to the folks that are listening? What exactly guilty, that show is? Sorry.
Yeah, Guilty Pleasure Treasure is basically, I've accumulated a fondness for movies that aren't necessarily critical darlings or aren't necessarily that well known. And in my spare time, I've found myself going to a lot of dollar stores or thrift stores and finding like old VHSs of movies I barely remember. And I have a VCR that works, so I might as well use them, right? So Guilty Pleasure Treasure is kind of the culmination of a lot of those different factors where I'll talk about movies that I feel kind of flew under a lot of people's radar at the time or are known to be like bad. Like I did an episode on Showgirls and I just like Showgirls because it is insane. It is crazy, and all the performances are amped up to 11 because everyone is probably amped up to 11 on some kind of substance.
That is true. Very true.
In the story and probably during production. Yeah. But I don't know. There's a quality to it that I just admire. People put so much effort into something that's so terrible. And I enjoy that terribleness, like genuinely do. And I just try to find films that kind of suit that type of quality for me, where I'm like, yeah, I know this is dumb, but it's a lovable kind of dumb.
So what is maybe your number one guilty pleasure when it comes to films? Oh, do you have one? Okay, how about a couple then? How about two or three?
I could name you a couple probably, because it's so hard. Like, I sometimes find myself always changing the ranking depending on my mood.
Yeah.
Definitely Showgirls is up there because either Paul Verhoeven is a madman thinking that that would work as a movie, or he's like Nostradamus and predicted like kind of the sliminess of show business we were going to have to deal with in current day and just decided to make a farce of it. But that would be one. A second one I kind of feel is a guilty pleasure treasure for me. I also mentioned being A Scanner Darkly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Is that Richard Linklater?
Yes.
Okay.
Using rotoscoping animation on Robert Downey Jr. and Keanu Reeves and the like for a Philip K. Dick story. And I remember when it came out, it got pretty good reviews, you know, but part of me was always just like, it deserves so much more recognition than what it did get. The style of it, kind of the themes it's dealing with and the way the performances are done. Like, I really like Robert Downey Jr. in that role as this fidgety but malevolent kind of drug dealer, and Keanu Reeves is actually pretty good in that film. And let's see, a third one. Oh man, you got me in a corner here. I'm trying to think of it.
I have two myself that I will share. My guilty pleasure, I love Bring It On. It's a terrible movie, yeah. But there's just something about Elijah Dushku and Kirsten Dunst as cheerleaders, and you know, Claire Kramer's in it too from Buffy. And mm-hmm. There's just something about that film. It's terrible, but I enjoy it so much.
Who would have thought that director would go on to give you Ant-Man?
I know. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. and then another guilty pleasure of mine is Dolomite.
Oh, man. Okay. I'll say that as a third one there. Like, you, me, and Dan Bauer, we all have a love for Dolomite.
Dolomite is terrible. I think my friend says it best. Rudy Ray Moore wrote, directed, acted, even sang songs, and none of them he did good. So, I mean, but yeah, Dolomite is just, I mean, it's ridiculously awful, but gosh darn it, I like it.
You can tell they care in that movie, though. Like, they are pouring their heart and soul into it, even though they don't have the resources.
Like, whenever, like, Rudy Ray Moore goes into one of those tirades and he has to piece together insults, you know, like, you no good, shoe wearing, ain't nothing happening, you know, like, he gets really into it, like, really, you know.
His go-to is rat soup eating mother.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes. So that's my two guilty pleasures. Is the two that I can think of right off the top of my head is Bring It On, Dolomite.
Yeah, I know. Dan and I, a year and a half ago or so, we did a commentary track on The Human Tornado, on the sequel, and half the time is just us laughing as we're watching the movie in tandem because we just can't. We're just like, oh my god, I can't believe this was working at the time. And oh man, he's naked again. What's going on?
You know what? There was another one I watched recently, another blaxploitation film, and it's on YouTube for free. And I can't remember what it's called, but it was basically, the premise is so simplistic, but it's hilarious. Four African American dudes in some Alabama town go to Vietnam. They become like Green Berets. They come back from their tour of duty, and the KKK is entrenched in their hometown. And so you can kind of figure out what the climax is. You know,
right.
The Green Beret black dudes that now know how to kill with their bare hands are going to take out the KKK. And it's pretty, I can't remember what it's called, but it's pretty It's pretty ridiculous as well. Dang, I wish I'd remember what the name of it was called.
That just reminds, it's clearly just a parallel to the Lord of the Rings when the four hobbits came back to Hobbit Town.
Yes. And
Saruman was taking control.
Exactly. So
Saruman's the KKK, hobbits are the Green Berets.
There you go. Enough said. All right, let's talk about a few other your episodes on your YouTube channel. You have the Chat Cave?
Yes, To the Chat Cave.
To the Chat Cave, excuse me. All right, To the Chat Cave, which you talk about various different topics of Batman, so obviously you are a huge Batman fan.
Yeah, Batman was basically what I grew up on. Everyone else, I like to say, like, everyone else was getting read Goodnight Moon. My dad would read me like Batman versus the Mad Monk, like the old timey Bob Kane Batman comics where he still had a gun and killed like werewolves that turned into vampires or really dumb 30s stuff.
Nice.
So I grew up on that stuff, definitely.
Okay, but cool. What appeals to you about Batman, if I may ask?
I'm sure it's a bunch of stuff that people have said before.
Sure.
It's that he's just a guy and he's just using every resource and every physical capability he has at his disposal, along with a keen intellect. I think part of it, too, is the fact that Batman kind of represents for me, honestly, what's at the core of a lot of us is major, major empathy overload. Just because a lot of people say Superman's the hopeful one or Superman's the one that, you know, really cares. It's like, no, Batman really cares. In fact, he cares a little too much, like dangerously so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And while it's a cool like allegory for, I guess, revenge or vengeance or what have you, it can also be an allegory for you got to take control of your life at some point. And I do like that about the character, especially as I've gotten older, is that idea of like He grabbed life by the horns and definitely rode it into a direction not many people would go after dealing with trauma. So
yeah, sure.
I guess
yeah.
I kind of appreciate that. Yeah.
So on To the Chat Cave, you talk about a variety of different topics related to the Batman universe. Do you just stick to the comics or do you also branch out into the films and into Gotham, the TV show and whatnot?
Well, I co-host with Max okay. from the Three Geeks. Yep. And so what he and I would usually do is, first of all, you know, scheduling and so forth. It sometimes takes us months to get an episode out, but he and I will throw ideas back and forth of like, what do you think of, did you ever read this comic run or did you ever watch this show or this movie? Or sometimes it will be in response to what's going on since there's a plethora of Batman related stuff happening in media in the past couple of years, like Ben Affleck and Justice League or Suicide Squad or things like that. Like we'll come up with a podcast kind of responding to that type of stuff. But sometimes my favorite ones are the ones where we actually do like find a comic book arc that we liked, like Hush, or we recently did a video on the original comic run for Under the Hood, which reintroduced Red Hood and Jason Todd mm-hmm. back into Batman's life. And sometimes even the more serious ones, like we did one in remembrance of Adam West, just kind of on the fly after we heard about Adam West passing. We did one about Prince and his contributions to the Batman soundtrack after he passed away. And I kind of like that as fun loving as we can be and as wacky as we can be on podcasts. I do like when we can kind of tone it down and have serious conversations about here's what this artist brought to the table mm-hmm. and really influenced me or really stuck out to me.
Okay. So. Well, you do also have a lot of different film reviews of new movies that have come out you know, recently. In fact, we may even just go ahead and dabble in this towards the end of this episode. You recently just dropped a review of Black Panther that had a few spoilers in it, and I would like to get your thoughts on Black Panther, but I'm going to just, for the listeners at home, we're going to handle that at the end of our conversation. But so, you know, have you found any particular film reviews difficult to do because you were like, wow, this movie was pretty bad? Or do you not have a problem telling folks, hey, look, this was pretty awful?
It depends.
Okay.
It really does. Sometimes I might sit on a review for a day or two just because, well, I also sometimes do writing for another website called Neverending Radical Dude. And I'll actually do like written reviews for them for some movies or artwork for some movies. And sometimes that factors in, like, I want to orchestrate my thoughts surrounding the film first for the written post before I put it to video. But I don't know. When it comes to, like, I don't know what to make of this film, I haven't really gotten kind of cornered by that too much. I'll definitely come out and say, like, oh, The Circle, that movie was an absolute piece of crap. Like, I did not care for that movie at all. It was like, it was beat out by the last 50 Shades movie. So it was number two on my worst of list from last year. But there's some movies that truly just, they just blow your hair back and baffle you. Like, there was this movie I saw on Netflix. Like, I don't think it had a wide release at all. And I saw it on Netflix, and, you know, Netflix, it can be a treasure trove of some horrendous stuff. It was called Return to Sender, and it's one of my most viewed videos, actually. And based off a lot of the comments people have been leaving, it's like, I'm glad I'm on the same wavelength with these people. The summarization of it is Rosamund Pike from Gone Girl basically plays this lady who is sexually assaulted in her home. They catch the guy. He goes to prison. She starts, like, a Dear John correspondence with him while in prison. And it appears as though she's starting to fall for him, and he gets released from prison. He looks like he's trying to reform, and it's all about developing that relationship. And it is mind-boggling what is going on for a while, until the last 15 minutes of the movie, where, again, not to spoil much, if you want to see this movie, go ahead, but it goes into straight I spit on your grave territory in the last 15 minutes. And I'm like, that's where this was going this whole time. And it wasn't like a fun surprise. It was like a, oh my God, you have to be kidding me. And that's where I was like, I can't wait to do the video on this, because okay. It'll genuinely be me frustrated.
I had a rant on an episode of the PVD cast where I ranted about, and we just talked about this guy, Paul Van Hooven. His movie L from the end of 2016, that same thing. Like, I just went on an entire rant about how it's the bait and switch. The, you know, you thought that it was going to be a revenge flick. You know, this woman was sexually assaulted in her home and she's coming back, you know, and it's not. And it just, I can empathize. I was like, what are you doing, Paul? Just how.
It could be an interesting story, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there is promise in a story like that. And if you're deft at being able to kind of handle that material well, then sure. But that was a problem, is that sometimes you just run into a movie where you're like, oh man, this is being handled in such a poor fashion. Like, it's amazing.
So what movies are coming up here soon for you? I know you just dropped Black Panther. Do you have anything coming up in the next couple of weeks of some reviews that you're looking forward to doing?
Some reviews, definitely. When it comes to stuff I'll put on the site, I do try to get, like, the big tentpole, you know, movies so forth. In terms of smaller stuff, nothing has really leapt out at me. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, I'm known for movie reviews on my site, but I barely go out to the movies in the past like month or so. But I guess Deadpool 2, I'm very curious to see if the quality from the first film is able to carry over into a sequel and not be like too much of a good thing, like a lot of sequels can be. That's the thing. There's so much that's kind of flooding.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly there. You know, I there's not too much coming out. I am curious to see how the Death Wish remake is.
Oh, that's, yeah.
You know, that because I like the original Death Wish. I really do. I don't even consider it to be a guilty pleasure. I think it actually has I think it's a pretty outstanding film, realistically. And I'm excited that Eli Roth is directing and Joe Carnahan wrote it, but I'm still a little hesitant. Like, I don't know if this remake's going to float well with me. I don't know. So I'm curious to see how that works.
Well, for me, like, yeah, I agree with you. The first Death Wish, it is brutal. It is gritty.
Yeah.
But it is so good at that. The following Death Wish movies done by Canon, those are straight up cartoons, but they're still fun yeah. for that.
Yes. Yes. And that documentary about Canon Films that was on Netflix is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I still tell people you need to watch it because it was just amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Well, let's talk about a few other things that are on your YouTube channel. Of course, you also have Game of Booze, which is a Game of Thrones drinking game.
Thank goodness it's only for 10 weeks however many weeks.
I was just curious, how does one create a Game of Thrones drinking game, sir?
It's really not that hard. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that have way better Game of Thrones drinking games than I do. Mine's actually pretty streamlined. Like, the rules are pretty simple. You have to finish a beer of your choice in the opening credits. The opening credits are like 2 minutes long, so you got plenty of time to down that sucker. You got to take a sip of your beer every time an act of violence occurs. You have to finish your beer if a character who's been on the show for more than a season is killed. You have to, this is getting into the liquor portion of it.
Uh-oh.
Because there's beer and liquor involved. You have to take a shot of your liquor of choice. I do whiskey for the most part. If you have nudity of any kind, male or female, you have to do a shot. Double shot if there's a sexual act taking place on screen.
Okay.
And that's it.
All right. So you could be pretty much wrecked after some episodes of that show.
Well, that last finale.
Yeah.
God.
Yes. All right, and let's talk about Remake Revolution, which you just dropped an episode, which, you know, in full disclosure, yours truly is on. But let's tell the folks listening at home, what is Remake Revolution?
Well, Remake Revolution is basically born out of conversations with a lot of people, like the Three Geeks, or like my co-writers over on Neverending Radical Dude, where we just talk about, you know, everything's getting remade, everything's getting rebooted. We want to throw our hat into the ring and just be like, what would it be like? It's like fantasy league for your favorite actors or directors or creators creating your favorite franchises again on the big screen. And so that's where Remake Revolution comes in, is I like to pit people against each other with their different ideas on, like, for example, take the episode we just recorded. We tackle Howard the Duck. What is your idea for a re-envisioned Howard the Duck? Who could be the director of a Howard the Duck movie in this day and age? And who do you feel is a perfect Howard the Duck actor? That type of stuff. And then I try to pick out which ideas I feel just work for me best. And yeah.
There you go. And you should check it out. Remake Revolution number 6, correct?
Yeah, it is a crazy episode.
It is. It goes all over the place, folks. It's not for the faint at heart, but might we add as well. It is not.
That's putting it lightly, yeah.
Just lightly. Well, let's talk also about something that I know that you and I mentioned when we were talking off air. And maybe you could give a little bit of background on it, because I'm not sure how many folks at home understand the concept. I don't really even understand it either. There seems to be, over the last few weeks, maybe the last month, some controversy about YouTube and the
monetization.
Thank you. Oh my goodness. Monetization.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
There's been a lot of controversy about that. So could you maybe explain a little background on that, and then also maybe tell me and tell the listeners how it's impacting you?
Yeah. So monetization on YouTube boils down to essentially advertisers want to put their kind of content and advertisements on or before your video or after your video. And for a while, that was kind of the norm for a lot of channels on here, big, small. You would have those, if you ever clicked on a video and it had that ad that said you can skip this ad in 5 seconds. That was the advertisers putting their content on top of your content. And if you even, you know, engaged in the video for a little bit or engaged in the ad, the creators of the video would get ad revenue off that. And it was good. I never made a stable living off of it. I've got a day job, so I never was looking for YouTube to kind of supplement my income that much. at most like $5 a year. But recently, due to the shenanigans of a certain content creator with millions of followers made up of young impressionable kids and his tendency to do some pretty jackass stuff in other countries with dead bodies to ring in the new year, YouTube kind of slapped a whole lot more regulations, restrictions, and criteria onto its creators because of that individual. And the new criteria is you can only monetize your videos and can only get ad revenue from videos if you have 4,000 hours total viewing in the past year, and if you have 1,000 subscribers, people who subscribe to your channel and, you know, tune in regularly to see your content. And currently, I am at, I think, 300 some hours from the past year or so, and 101. It's always changing between 101 and 102 subscribers. Someone's a fence sitter on that front.
Yeah, if you're listening, fence center, come on, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pick a side.
That's exactly it. Okay, so do you think that they're going to go kind of maybe revert back to their old ways? Or, you know, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think more restrictions are coming?
I mean, who's to say? Yeah. It's really hard, especially in this current climate where there's been a lot of YouTube fiasco stuff that went down before, you know, even that incident with that individual. Like, you know, for a while, YouTube was very much heavily monitoring a bunch of different channels for their actual content because people were posting, some individuals were posting very, let's say, racist or homophobic or violent type of content, which I agree isn't cool at all. I don't like that stuff's up there either, but at the same time, they were letting kind of automated systems regulate that as opposed to like having people, actual flesh and blood people, run their eye over the content. They were just kind of leaving it up to, oh, the algorithm will settle it all. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't cool.
Yeah.
But I never really felt like it bothered me too much because, like I said, I'm a small fry. I don't make a steady living off this, so it's not going to impact me greatly. Mostly, I just don't like creativity being stifled by that. And thankfully, I haven't had the experience where I've had to restrict what I say about a certain topic or had to change up something. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still, because I'm a nerd channel, I don't really get into, I'm not like one of those, you know, uber militant
politics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get into like uber militant left or right issues. Right. Like, not at all. Right. But still, it sucks when you feel the effects of the actions of other people.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. When you create one of your videos, what equipment do you use to produce your content?
Well, I have a nice Sony HD cam that I upgraded to like a year or so ago, and that's been kind of a godsend because I used to just record off of my laptop's webcam and, you know, there'd be lag issues galore or file corruption issues and things like that. With this camera, I just enjoy the pristine HD quality. Then I go, it's really simple. Just go into iMovie, edit some things together. For the podcast stuff, I just use a good old-fashioned GarageBand and use the Hangouts primarily. Sometimes I used to do Skype, but as we were discussing, I've run into some issues with Skype as well. But it's not a intricate, like, I had to dedicate a whole day to editing something, like, just a couple of hours at least, and usually that's in my downtime. So,
gotcha. Let's talk about something that I was curious about, and I don't think we've ever discussed it in the times that we have interacted. How did you get hooked up with the Three Geeks podcast? How do you know those guys?
I am from Ohio,
okay,
originally, and I used to go to school actually with a couple of guys in the Three Geeks podcast.
Okay.
So,
okay,
what kind of drew me into their little world was, actually, Jason, I believe, from Three Geeks, he was commenting on a lot of my old blip stuff and actually kind of mentioned me every once in a while when they started Three Geeks. And I was like tuning in because I saw, oh, Jason commented. Cool. I haven't heard from Jason in forever. And then I was like, I really love what these guys are doing. I love what these guys are talking about. This is stuff I'm interested in, too. So one Christmas or no, it was one Halloween. I was back in Ohio and I'm like, yo, you mind if I just sit on the podcast as a guest? And they invited me into the set at the time, and we had a cool rhythm. And then I was like, hey, can I come back next week? I'll be in New Jersey, but can I still get in on the hangout? And they're like, sure. And so then I became a regular contributor at that point.
Excellent. Excellent. And by the way, if you are listening at home, you've not checked out the Three Geeks podcast, you need to. They're also on YouTube. Just search for Three Geeks podcast and all of their videos and all of their podcast episodes are right up there. So definitely check those guys out. They're good people, man. They're good people.
Yeah. Get prepared. It is also not for the faint of heart.
No, it is not. It is not sometimes. Do you have any advice that maybe you'd want to give somebody that wants to start their own YouTube channel?
I guess if you're going to be starting your own YouTube channel in right about now, I know it seems really daunting. I know it seems like all the odds are stacked against you when it comes to, you know, promoting your stuff, getting popular, you know, getting your message out there, whatever your message is. Just keep at it. And that's ultimately what I had to keep telling myself whenever the rule book of YouTube would constantly change over the past couple of years. And I found myself momentarily frustrated by those changes. I would just have to keep saying, it's like, ultimately, I'm doing this for me and I'm doing this because it is just a fun side thing to do. If it's something you want to make your living out of, then you just got to keep pouring your heart and soul into every video and into every product you release through YouTube. And you know, just put in the work, keep at it. Don't get, down on yourself when you hit like a slow moment or so. And definitely seek out some great collaborators. Like, for example, right here on the PVD cast, like this is kind of a cool collaboration. Yeah. I'm pretty jazzed when I get to be a guest on another podcast because I kind of just do this. It's very relaxing, very freeing. And also I get to learn a little bit more about somebody else. They get to learn a little bit more about me, share ideas, and then we promote each other a little bit. So definitely find that support.
There you go. Well, I stated that I wanted to talk a little bit about Black Panther, but I don't want to spoil it for anybody else. So let's go ahead. And Mike, tell folks where they can find you on social media and on the internet. And then that way, if folks want to just stop listening as we're going to discuss Black Panther, that's fine. If you want to continue to listen because you've seen Black Panther, feel free to. Whatever fits your particular situation. But Mike, where can folks find you on the internet?
You can find me on YouTube. My channel is youtube.com/MikeMcGTV. I'm also on Twitter at MikeMcGTV. McG is MCG. So just for anyone who is curious. I guess I'm also on Twitch too, every once in a while. Same thing, Mike McGTV on Twitch. So
there you go. There you go. All right. So let's talk a little bit because I'm going to be honest too. You're the first person I've really talked to, not via text or email, about the movie. So,
all right.
Black Panther, your original thoughts.
My original thoughts about Black Panther. Panther. Sorry.
Were you excited for it when you first heard they were coming out with it or what?
When they first announced that the character would be incorporated into the cinematic universe, I was like, yeah, okay. I've never really been a big Black Panther fan. I've liked the character just fine, but it was never really a character that was in my orbit when I was really into comics. Like, I was a Spider-Man guy growing up, so in terms of Marvel. And then if it wasn't Spider-Man and Marvel, it was Batman through and through. So wasn't as familiar, got familiar with the character, liked what they did with him in Civil War, mm-hmm. thought he was really well handled there. And with this latest movie, when I first heard that he was going to get the standalone movie, I'm like, that could be something different. That could be something cool. Cause we've seen, you know, the down to earth hero. We've seen the space hero. We've seen the struggling teenage hero. I've never seen a Marvel movie quite like this where the hero is also a diplomat, is also royalty.
Yeah.
And has bigger responsibilities other than I got to punch the bad guy.
Right, right. I'm going to be a little bit on the other side of things. You know, I always thought Black Panther was not a very interesting. I was always bored with him. As the comic books, I just felt like, okay, and again, the way he was portrayed in my narrow understanding of him, you know, okay, he's the dude that's the king of the African country. I don't care. You know, it just, there was nothing about him that really intrigued me. So therefore, when they announced they were going to do a standalone movie, I'm like, okay. But I will say that as the trailer started rolling out, I'm like, there's a depth to this. There is an there's an excitement in this trailer, you know? And I think that was not only the way that they cut the trailer and what scenes they used. I think the music, inserting that Run the Jewels song in that in those trailers just really started to get me to Wayne, like, oh, I'm excited. I want to see this. You know what I mean? So for me, I think that they did handle it very, very well. And I agree with you. It has a different feel than any of the other Marvel movies out there.
Right. It's, and I mean, it's coming from good pedigree too, with regards to the director I've been a fan of since Creed. I've really enjoyed, like, he essentially just went out and made his own Rocky fan film with Creed. Yeah. And you got to admire that. Like, I like Chadwick Boseman, who plays Black Panther. I've liked him since I saw him in 42, I believe. It was a Jackie Robinson movie with Harrison Ford. I really like his portrayal of Jackie in that movie. All the supporting cast, you know, phenomenal actors throughout, and I've enjoyed them so much in other projects. But yeah, it's really so much. I was looking forward to a couple of things. It was, again, that angle of, okay, he's so much more than just your average superhero. He's a dignitary. He's royalty. Like I said, the design for it, the world itself of Wakanda, I was kind of like, this is pretty impressive.
Yeah. And I agree. Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly.
So, and yeah, also the music too. When I heard like who was involved with regards to the music and the overall score and soundtrack, I'm like, I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah, I thought it was a great tale, man. I agree with you on all those fronts. I think at times, a couple of little instances where it was a little predictable, but I'm like,
oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, there was some predictability there that I'm like, you know, like, you know, I was like, he's not dead. They threw him over the waterfall. Someone's going to find him. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that was kind of predictable.
In my review, I called that, like, as soon as he won the challenge the first time, and that guy had to go away and lick his wounds, I'm like, that guy will be back.
Yeah.
And he'll be back and he'll be his buddy.
Yeah. And the same thing. As soon as they showed up at that other tribe's, that I'm like, they're going to, and he said, no, we're not going to help you. I'm like, yeah, you are. You're going to.
Yeah, you are. I mean, but that's the thing. It's like, yeah, it gets predictable at certain points, but that kind of goes hand in hand with not just, I want to say, the Marvel formula, but also like kind of fantasy adventure movies at this point too. Like, as I was, you brought up that whole, we're not going to help you, but we totally are going to help you moment. It reminded me of like, I can't remember. I think it was Lord of the Rings at one point that happened in Lord of the Rings where someone's like, why should we go help Aragorn? And then it's like, we're totally going to go help Aragorn now.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens frequently, but you know, but like I said, the rest of I can forgive it because the rest of the movie was so darn good, you know?
Oh yeah.
Just the visuals and the story itself was really good. You know, my only gripe was, I would like to have had Run the Jewels in the soundtrack there somewhere. You know,
I mean, yeah, to actually have the song, you know, posted throughout.
Exactly. I'm like, hey, come on, man. I will say this too. Apparently in the theater that I saw it on Monday with the bonus scene at the end of the credits, boy, there are some Bucky Barnes fans.
Oh yeah. He is like the, I don't know what you would construe him as. Like, you know how all the girls love Loki at this point. Like,
yeah,
like he's probably second. Like Loki is Edward Cullen. Winter Soldier is the werewolf kid.
Well,
yeah, that's right.
I
ruined it for you.
Oh no, it was just weird because I'm sitting there and he shows up and people were like, "Woo! Yeah!" I'm like, "Wait, what? What's going on? It's just Bucky. Just calm down, people." And I was like, "Damn, and he's then, popular, man. Shit."
And then T'Challa's sister will just be like, "I only got one thing to ask you, Bucky. What are those?"
Yeah.
That was my one. Two moments. One was that I'm like, you had to throw in a what are those joke into this movie. It would have been perfect if you hadn't done that. And second of all, which I mentioned in my review, is that I can't believe that the guy who plays young Forrest Whitaker in 26 years is going to turn into Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
Like, that was a hard pill to swallow. I'm like, dude, being a priest has been a rough ride for you, man.
Yes, because is that Sterling K. Brown, I think, was the guy? No, Sterling K. Brown was the brother.
Right, that was killed. Sterling K. Brown was a brother.
Yeah. But you're right. Yeah, that I was like, wow. Yeah, now that you mention it, yeah. Which, I don't know, Forrest Whitaker, man, he's looking a little rough, man. He looked rough in Rogue One, and he looks rough in this film. I mean, and I don't think he's supposed to look that rough.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, that's what happens when you get older, I suppose. But it wasn't necessarily anything that was like, oh, this movie, zero stars. I'll never believe this kid is Forrest Whitaker. Yeah. It was more about like, and this is something I kind of realized as I was watching the movie, too, is that as much as I'm like, yeah, cool action, good character moments, good character beats, it's more about I'm seeing more of the sausage being made in the background than anything else. Like, as much as I like the story that's taking place, part of my brain is always like, yeah, okay. The writer knew what he was doing. Yeah, okay. The cameraman really knows how to capture that moment. Yeah, okay. Casting's a little off on that.
yeah. But overall, I really enjoyed it. Excellent film. You know, it's just enough. Let's just be honest, man. Marvel knows how to make a movie.
Yeah, at this point, Marvel is solid, dependable enjoyment. Even the lesser movies. Like, I don't leave a Marvel movie in this day and age, like, fuming about it.
Yeah.
I think the one I came closest to, and I listened to your podcast with Paul.
Yes.
Before coming on here. And I'm a little bit more on Paul's side with regards to Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
I enjoyed the movie just fine, but I'll agree, like, yeah, it's a little trying too hard to be funny for me.
Okay.
But that was about it. I wasn't like, never go see Thor Ragnarok. Go see Thor Ragnarok. It's fun.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I totally agree. All right.
Now, what we have to do is have a separate podcast where we talk about the DC movies because, oh my God, those are all over the place. Oh, so.
They are. But you know what? I'm going to say this, Mike. I think there's a tendency for people to just rag on DC movies because it's what people do. I'll save my opinions on those. You know, I think they've put out some absolute shit fests. Yes. You know, but
yeah,
there's been a few of their movies. I'm like, well, okay, it wasn't great, but it wasn't as terrible as you all are making out it to
right,
me.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on now. So
at this point, what I was saying is that like, it can be good, it can be great, it can be terrible, just don't make it boring.
Right.
Like,
yes.
If it's bad and it's entertaining, fine.
Yep.
It'll be a guilty pleasure treasure soon enough.
All right, well, Mike, we're getting up to about 50 minutes here, so I'm going to let the listeners go if they're still listening. Again, if you took the time out because of the spoilers, well, then you're obviously not hearing my voice. But, Mike, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
man.
Definitely check out his YouTube channel. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I will come back to wrap up this episode. Well, there you have it, folks. My conversation with Mike McGee. We were talking about his YouTube channel. And, you know, as I mentioned in the intro to this episode, you know, Mike is an independent creator, just like me, just like many of my other guests. He's out there putting his content out on YouTube for the world to see. So do me a favor, do Mike a favor, stop on by his channel on YouTube. All right. Check out his shows. Check out his episodes. In fact, if I may say so, since we are cross-promoting a little bit here, you need to check out Remake Revolution number 6, myself, Brian Lau, competing against the guys from Three Geeks Podcast, pitching our ideas for Howard the Duck. It's a great episode. It's very funny. It's super, super, super hilarious. That's right. Three supers. but it might be a little bit inappropriate for the kids at work. I will say that, even though we kind of hinted at that in our conversation. But hey, nonetheless, bottom line, check out Mike's YouTube channel, Mike McGee TV. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you where you can get in touch with me. Maybe you have a question about this episode of the PVD cast. Maybe you want to make a comment and you don't want to limit yourself to just 280 characters. Then you can shoot me an email. That's right. all you got to do is send it to johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Or if you want to just use 280 characters or less, you can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP. You can even leave me a message on the Facebook page of the PVDcast. That, of course, being facebook.com/PVDcast. You can get the PVDcast 7 different ways. Obviously, the easiest way is to go to PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, and the Echo Network. So for that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and head on out of here so I will chat at each and every one of you later. And until then, stay righteous, stay independent.